This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد. A very small request, if the brothers that are sitting on that side of the Yula can come as forward as possible, inshallah ta'ala. Inshallah ta'ala, brothers and sisters, what I want to really speak about today and spend, you know, a few moments on this, inshallah ta'ala, is what happens after the month of Ramadan. Because I'm sure you'll have realized this as well, and it's just not me suffering from, you know, funny thoughts and that, but you see that the masajid now have become more empty than it was in the month of Ramadan. I remember on the 27th night, of Ramadan, how packed the masajid were. The masajid were so packed, like there wasn't even any place to probably park outside the masjid. I'm sure you will agree. Likewise, the place that I live and every other place that you go, everybody comes out of their homes into the masajid, as if they are 100% sure that Laylatul Qadr is on the 27th. Even though we don't have a clear-cut evidence to say that 100% for sure is going to be on the 27th. And we know also Laylatul Qadr. Is it wajib or is it sunnah to stand up on that day? In Taraweeh? It's a sunnah, right? Something that the Prophet highly recommended. And we know the great virtues and rewards that come with it. Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alf shahr. The layla, the night of Al-Qadr, is better than 1,000 months. Of course, we should be trying our utmost best in participating and engaging in ibadat on that very night, just like the other odd nights, because of the high possibility of it being on that night. As soon as we reach the 28th, the attendees in the masajid dropped. When it could have been on the 28th as well. 29th, people do come to the masajid, but not as much as the 27th. And subhanAllah, as soon as the 29th, Allah, I just like try to go to the masajid, just see how it is, you find there's a big difference. And even more worse after the month of Ramadan. I just want to say, brothers and sisters, the masajid are still open. The masajid, I don't think anyone's put a lock on the door for stopping the people from attending the congregation. The masajid are still open. We should be striving to attend the jama'ah for dhuhr, asr, maghrib, isha, fajr as well, more than the Laylatul Qadr. Why? Because hadha wajibun alayk. This is an obligation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed on your neck. Naam, Laylatul Qadr is great. It's a great reward that we all want, you know, to end up receiving. But Salatul Jama'ah, as soon as Ramadan finishes, wallahi brothers, you go to Fajr, you go to Asr, you go to Maghrib, it's not like before. And most of you will agree. Am I talking waffles, guys?
No.
Most of us will agree, right? And subhanAllah, brothers, when we look at the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the emphasis he gave to the jama'ah, he was realized that, brothers and sisters, leaving off the jama'ah is a very serious thing. It's not just some jokey sunnah that we're leaving off. Even though the sunnah, we should try to implement it as much as we can, and not just be leaving off lightly. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about the jama'ah, salatul jama'ati afdalu min salatil fadhi bi 27 daraja. Praying the salat in congregation is better than the individual who prays a prayer by himself by 27 times. 27 times. In other hadith, this shows us, brothers, the seriousness of just leaving off. And what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the thoughts that went past the mind of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he found out there were some people leaving off the jama'ah, he said, لَقَدْ هَمَمْتُ أَنْ أَمُرَ بِحَقَبْ فَيُحْتَطَبَ ثُمَّ أَمُرَ بِالصَّلَاةِ فَيُؤَذَّنُ لَهَا. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the thought came to him And he went as far as wanting to do it. To command someone to get rocks together and burn it. To start a fire. فَيُحْتَطَبَ ثُمَّ أَمَرُ بِالصَّلَاةِ فَيُؤَذَّنُ لَهَا. Then I command an individual to start the prayer. And to make the adhan. ثُمَّ أَمَرُ رَجُلًا فَيَغُمُ النَّاسِ. Then I get and appoint an individual to lead the people. ثُمَّ أُخَالِفُ إِلَى رِجَالٍ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الصَّلَاةَ فَأُحَرِّقُ عَلَيْهِمْ بُيُوتَهُمْ. Then after I've appointed someone to lead the prayer, I take another way out in order to go and visit those who leave of the salat in the jama'ah. And what did the Prophet want to do? He wanted to burn them while they're inside their homes because of leaving of the jama'ah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَوْ أَنَّ لِأَحَدْ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِهِ لَوْ يَعْلَمُ أَحَدٌ أَنَّهُ يَجِدُ عَرْقًا سَمِينًا أَوْ مِرْمَاتَيْنِ حَسَنَتَيْنِ لَشَهِدَ الْعِشَاءِ. If a person knew the reward that comes with attending the congregation, أَنَّهُ يَجِدُ عَرْقًا سَمِينًا, that if he was now to come to the congregation, to the masjid, and they would be giving out meat. You know the two words that were mentioned, عَرْقًا سَمِينًا أَوْ مِرْمَاتَيْنِ حَسَنَتَيْنِ, are like the best part of the lamb and the meat that we normally eat. Not every part of the sheep that we eat is as nice as the other parts, right? They say the ribs are the nicest part of the sheep. Some of you might agree. This is why it's more expensive in the restaurants. It's more tastier. And so on and so forth. They say these two that were mentioned in the hadith are yani, the most nicest of what a person eats from that sheep. If a person knew that this was going to be distributed for attending the jama'ah, the congregation, everybody would have attended it. Alayhis kadhalik, I've seen this in my masjid. Anytime there's a walima, wallahi, when there's a walima, brothers and sisters, there's no place to sit. There's nowhere to go. One time I just walked in, I was like, I never got invited to the wedding. And it's my masjid, right? Walk in. Somali weddings taking place, and you know how those who get married, they normally like to do the nikah straight after the dhuhr prayer, right? Either after the jum'ah or on another day after dhuhr. That's the time that people normally tend to choose. I think, what's going on today, you know? I walk into the masjid is packed, and I realize a walima is going on. What's going to be distributed? The lamb and the chicken that is brought because of the walima. And so many hundreds of people are attending the masjid because of, and this is what the Prophet ﷺ mentioned 1400 years ago. لَوْ يَجِدُ عَرْقًا سَمِينًا وَمِرْمَاتَيْنِ حَسَنَتَيْنِ شَهِدِ الْعِشَاءِ. If one knew that these kind of lamb meat is going to be distributed inside the masjid, everybody would have attended. And likewise, brothers in wallahi, if someone offered us money, hundreds of pounds, someone that we really trust, Bill Gates. You don't know Bill Gates? Bill Gates is who? One of the richest guys that's currently walking on the face of this earth, right? And the guy who owns Facebook, what's his name? Mark. Mark Zuckerberg. Huh?
Mark Zuckerberg.
Mark Zuckerberg. What about the guy who owns Instagram? Who's he?
Same guy.
Allahu Akbar. I didn't know that. Wallahi, I didn't know that. So if this guy came, because we see the money that he's making, right? It's actually tangible. Everybody can see the money he's making. His products are being bought left, right and center. You find that there's many different organizations. They are paying X amount of money to promote and advertise whatever they want to be advertised on social media. So he's making yani, crazy amounts of money. We can see this, right? If this guy came and offered us, any person who comes to that or does this, we're going to give him X amount of money. The door on his house is going to break the amount of people that are going to be entering into his home. For how the human being, it's a human being. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the great virtues that a person receives just for attending the jama'ah. I'm going to give another example. We all see how many thousands of people they end up attending the process, right? Thousands of people. You know, the Muslim ummah is suffering so much. And you go on Facebook, everybody is giving different resolutions. Oh no, we need to participate in politics a bit more. You know, maybe we're not doing this properly. Maybe we're not doing that. Maybe we're not involved in the media. All different reasons are mentioned. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us the cure for all these problems in a very short, simple hadith. Wallahi, you don't need to be an intelligent, articulate, eloquent, a person who studies in Oxford or in Cambridge. By the way, Adnan, I don't mean you, yeah. Our brother came, graduated from Oxford, mashallah. You don't need to be an intelligent person to understand what the problem is. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us this in simple terms. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَ وَأَخَذْتُمْ بِأَذْنَابِ الْبَقَرِ وَرَضِيتُمْ بِالزَّرْعِ وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ذُلًّا لَا يَنْزِعُنْكُمْ حَتَّى تَرْجُعُ إِلَى دِينِكُمْ. Once you start having riba-based transactions, can I ask you a question? What is riba? Is it major sin, minor sin? Is it something recommended? Major sins. Is it kufr? It's not kufr, right? Good. It's a major sin. Person is waging war with Allah. يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَا إِن كُنتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِن لَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. You don't leave off riba and start a war. You're starting a war with Allah Azza wa Jalla's messenger. Serious. So the hadith says, yeah, whoever starts dealing in riba and starts chasing the tails of camels. Sorry, cows, baqar. وَرَضِيْتُمْ بِالزَّرْعِ. And then you become satisfied with the land and the crops. They are basically the dunya. Become satisfied with it. Then you leave of jihad. وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادِ. Before someone gets the wrong end of the stick or thinks that I'm trying to advise you to go and join Al-Shabaab or, you know, ISIS or Al-Qaeda, I don't mean that. But rather the truth. We're not going to be apologetic about what our religion calls to. Jihad is part of our religion. But what these guys are doing, it goes totally against the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Quran and the Sunnah. It has no basis. So once you leave this off, Allah Azza wa sallat Allahu alaykum dhullan hatta taj'ala dinikum. Allah will send a humiliation upon you. Until when? You come back to your religion. So the point I mentioned, the reason I'm mentioning this is, thousands of people come out to protest. Early hours. Sometimes 7 o'clock in the morning, sometimes 8, sometimes 9. They're ready to fight for their rights. Black Lives Matter, right? As they say, how many thousands of people came out? But now, Abillahi alayka, ask you, a basic command in the Quran, the basic command in the Sunnah, to establish your salawat, which is one of the biggest pillars in our religion, but also you need to do in the Jama'ah. How many thousands of people are coming to the masjid at Fajr time that the roads have to get blocked? You have to block the roads, right? When everybody's protesting outside in Manchester, when EDO comes to the town or the city center, they have to block off the roads, right? How many thousands of people come to Fajr prayer? A basic command in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they have to block off the roads and there's nowhere to park, and people have to pray outside. Until you come back to your religion. That's exactly what the Prophet ﷺ told us. You start establishing your religion, you take it seriously, you come back to it, the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla's messenger, you fulfill it and you stay away from the nawahi, that which he prohibited. That's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to remove the suffering of the Muslim ummah. Forget about, na'am, politics, to some extent, we should look at it. The media, na'am, we should try to use the media in order to propagate and promote the correct version of Islam. But what is the main way of solving the problems that we're currently having? The Prophet told us, حَتَّى تَرْجُعُ إِلَى دِينِكُمْ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Allah promised you. He's going to give you authority. He's going to establish on the earth and give you victory and power. When? وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. When you start having iman and you start doing righteous deeds. When will this happen? The end of the verse in Surah An-Nur tells us, يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. You have ibadah, you establish a tawheed, you stay away from shirk. People say this all the time, you can hear this all the time. You've got the modernists, the liberalists coming out on social media, all you'll speak about is bid'ah, shirk. Brother, we got bigger fish to fry and bigger nuts to crack. Let's concentrate more. We have all a common enemy. The reason why we're being played around with, even though the Muslims are so vast in number. Don't we hear all the time, oh, Muslim, Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. And at the same time, we're the weakest and we're being humiliated the most. So why do you want to go and start with the kuffar? You've been told to come back to your religion and you're so vast in number. You stop warning against bid'ah and shirk, they tell you, akhi, what are you doing, man? You're splitting the ummah. What did I mention before about the riba? The reason why I asked the brothers here whether it's a major sin, whether it's a minor sin, whether it's kufr, because I'm going to say now. Riba is a major sin, right? And the Prophet told us, once this now becomes what? So widespread. That's when a humiliation will be sent down upon you. What about if I come with that which is worse? Isn't that more of a chance that Allah is going to humiliate us? We hear every week on the khutbah, in the minbar. وَشَرَّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا وَكُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَاءٍ. The worst of the affairs is what? Innovation. What's more worse than that? Shirk. And they say that shirk is a part of innovation because this person who now associates partners, he does it in a way which has no base in religion. So you have shirk and bid'ah that are greater than what? Riba. Riba is a major sin. You die upon riba, either Allah will forgive you, or Allah won't forgive you. You're going to get punished. But sooner or later, you're going to come out the fire. Because the major sin, you had a tawheed. As long as you have tawheed. You die upon shirk, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. You do shirk haram, the jannah has been made upon you. Ash-shahidu min al-kalam, brothers and sisters, that's so widespread. People are more concerned about being in parliament. We need to have a say in parliament. Of trying to get a seat in parliament, that's his main goal. Rather, brothers, wallahi, this sunnah that we have, we see today, this hadith that I mentioned to you, can we not see the reality? So many hadith we could mention today that shows you the true prophecy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Things he mentioned 1400 years ago. Another hadith that just came to my mind now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيْرُ اِخْتِلَافٍ كَثِيرًا. Whoever lives among us is going to see so much khilafat. Do we not see so much disunity, so much differences in our communities today? He said that 1400 years ago. And the Muslims today are more disunited than anything. But what did he say? وَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةَ الْخُلَفَاءِ الراشدين المهديين عضوا عليها بالنواجد. Upon you is to follow my way and the sunnah of the four caliphs, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. This was upon you to do. Is this being done today? You have debates taking place as to whether you could say, Ya Rasulullah, give me this. From the most fundamental and greatest points of our religion, at-tawheed. If I am not establishing tawheed, how can I claim myself to be a Muslim? A group is saying, say Ya Allah. These people are saying, say Ya Rasulullah. And most of you that know this debate that went viral. It's like 200,000 people are watching it on different channels. Because of what? Say Ya Allah, say Ya Rasulullah. Or don't say Ya Rasulullah. That's more widespread. I go to Bradford sometimes and it shocks me. Wallah, it shocks me. I see some masajid of these people that look like the haram. It reminds me of Al-Medina. Communities after communities in the north especially, they believe this, they have this concept, they have this philosophy. Of that you could go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask him to give you X, Y, and Z. Min dunillah. Idha sa'alta fas'alillah. Who's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaching this? Ibn Abbas. He's a young kid. His early stages is teaching his kids a tawheed. Oh no, don't speak about this, don't speak about that. You lot splitting the ummah. Na'am, what did the Prophet ﷺ come with? He said, Muhammadun farraq al-nas, Muhammadun farraq al-nas. So he's going on a bit of a tangent now. But they said this about the Prophet ﷺ. Muhammad came and disunited the people. If the Prophet ﷺ's sole objective was to just unite, he would have said to them, you lot worship your Lord for 1 year, we worship our Lord for 1 year, you lot do whatever you want, we do whatever we want, let's just leave and just unite. Was that the case? He called to a tawheed until the shirk and the balaya, the corruptions that was there was taken off. was removed in totality. So the sole purpose not to just unite. Naam, of course. So many verses in the Quran. شَرَعَ لَكُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا وَصَّى بِهِ إِلَىٰ قَوْلِ أَنْ أَقِيمُوا الدِّينَ وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا فِيهِ وَلَا تَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ. But that which unity is built on, that a person comes back to his religion and you apply that religion the way the companions understood it. Not me, not you, not my uncle, not my dad, or my granddad, or my sheikh, or your sheikh. So Shahid, the reason why I mention this, brothers and sisters, حَتَّى تَرْجُعُ إِلَى دِينِكُمْ. Thousands of people come out and they're protesting something that religion has no basis in. It has no asal in our religion, no basis. Sisters come out with their husbands. They're wearing all tight clothes and their arms are showing and the hijab is not even on properly. You're fighting for rights. You're fighting for khilafah. Sometimes they come out and they're fighting for khilafah. Establish a khilafah in your home first. What do you want a khilafah for? You come back and you establish the khilafah on yourself. Are you with me, brothers? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another hadith, he said, أَثْخَلُ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَى الْمُنَافِقِينَ What are two salawat?
Fajr and Asr.
Fajr, that's another narration. But there's one that says, أَثْخَلُ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَى الْمُنَافِقِينَ صَلَاةُ الْعِشَاءِ وَصَلَاةُ الْفَجْرِ. But Asr also is taken very seriously. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned another hadith, مَنْ تَرَكَ صَلَاةُ الْعَصَرِ فَقَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُهُ. Whoever leaves of صَلَاةُ الْعَصَرِ, then his actions become void. It's also very serious. Prophet said two salawat are heavy upon whom? The munafiqeen. صَلَاةُ الْعِشَى وَصَلَاةُ الْفَجْرِ. The Isha and the Fajr. وَلَوْ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا فِيهِمَا لَأَتَوْهُمَا وَلَوْ حَبْوَى. Had they known the reward that a person attains through attending the congregation in these two salawat, they would have come crawling. وَأَتَوْهُمَا وَلَوْ حَبْوَى. You would have crawled to the masjid. We would crawl for anything else, right? We're ready to go our way. To end up building a house in this dunya, we're ready to disobey Allah Azza wa Jal. We're ready to take mortgage, we're ready to start a fight with Allah Azza wa Jal, a war. Not even a fight, a war. هذا أبلغ. Because we want that house. That's our sole objective here in this dunya. We want to build that house, we want to give a good future for our kids. We're ready to start a war. And we're ready to go our way to find this worldly pleasure. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if you knew the reward, لَا تَوْمَا وَلَوْ حَبْوَنِ, you would have come to it crawling. Another hadith, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, أَتَى النَّبِيِّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رَجُلٌ أَعْمَى. He said, a blind man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, يَا رَسُولَ لَيْسَ لِي قَائِدٌ يَقُودٌ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ. I don't have someone to take me to the masjid. Brother, this is a blind man. A blind Sahabi, the companion. Ibn Kulthum. He's saying this to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A blind man is thinking about his prayer. If this is now a blind man who has been told to go to the salawat, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, when he came to him, لَيْسَ لِي قَائِدٌ يَقُودٌ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ فَرَخَّصَ لَهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no problem, go pray in your home. فَلَمَّا وَلَّ دَعَاهُ. When he was turning back and he was walking back to his womb, the Prophet ﷺ called him, come here. He said to him, هَلْ تَسْمَعُ النِّدَاءَ لِلصَّلَاةِ؟ قَالَ نَعَمْ قَالَ فَأَجِبْ. Do you hear the adhan? He said, yes. Then he then attend the prayer. This is a blind man. This is a blind man, brother. I said, where do me and you stand? Today, mashallah, we have, you know, the ability to commute. Got cars that get us to place, from place to place. Not saying that if you live far, it's wajib upon you to go to the masjid. Then I had the hukum shar'i. But do you think we should be taking it lightly? Or we are mutahawin? And we're laxed about it? And even more worse, the person who lives close to the masjid. And now, brothers and sisters, shall I tell you one thing? The shaitan will whisper in your ear. And there's ways to overcome that. And one of these ways is to know the fadail of the actions that are wajib upon it. This requires knowledge. I remember one time, Fajr time, I just totally lost time of track. It's getting close to the time of prayer. I realize, okay, it's already Fajr. Sometimes I don't keep track of the time. I don't know what time it is. I realize it's Fajr. Shaitan is saying to me, Akhi, You know, you're tired, just pray at home. Still pray your Fajr though. Most people are sleeping. And then what the other whispers comes from the other side. And says, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man salla ma'al imami fil jama'ah kana fi dhimmati Allah hatta yumsi. Whoever now prays the jama'ah, praying with the imam in the jama'ah, this person under the protection of Allah Azza wa Jal until what? Until he breaks the evening. So sometimes to know the fada'il really pushes the person. And you realize the virtue, the reward that you're getting out of it. You know, brothers and sisters, there's a group of scholars, they believe that your salah is batil if you pray at home. That your salah, and you don't have a udhr, you don't have an excuse, you're not sick, you don't forget. Because we know that sickness and also forgetting or oversleeping, obviously the person doesn't do that on a consistent basis. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ نَامَ عَنْ صَلَاتٍ أَوْ نَسِيَهَا فَكَفَّارَتُهُ أَنْ يُصَلِّيَ إِلَىٰ ذَكَرَهَا. Whoever oversleeps or he forgets, then his expiation is to pray when he remembers or when he wakes up. I'm not saying to you, you can just, you know, leave the alarm clock and not put it on and just go to sleep. Oh, I forgot. You might be able to lie to the people, you can't lie to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, Shaykh bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, obviously this is something else. Shaykh bin Baz gives the fatwa that if you put your alarm clock at 8 o'clock, when Fajr is maybe at 4, purposefully, this person has left the fold of Islam. Because he holds the position, and many other scholars hold the position, that whoever leaves with a prayer, this person is a kafir. Based on the hadith, al-ahdu alladhi baynana baynahum as-salat, man taraka faqad kafar. There's a group of scholars that believe that even though there's a difference of opinion, the difference between us and them is salat. Whoever leaves the salat is a kafir. And the companions, they never used to see an action that was abandoned to be an act of kufr other than leaving of the salat. Abdullah ibn Shaqiq al-Uqayli, he said, كانوا لا يرون شيئا من الأعمال يتركوا كفرا غير الصلاة. If you left off the hijab, maybe they said, oh, you know, she's new to Islam. You left off fasting and sadaqah, maybe, you know, new to Islam, doesn't have any money, he's sick. They had different excuses, salat, never. Ash-shahidu min al-kalam, we're talking about not the individual who purposefully leaves off putting the alarm clock at the correct time. What was I mentioning? I was mentioning something. There was another point I wanted to mention.
You don't keep track of time.
No, there's another point I want to mention, subhanAllah. When a person just...
blind man going to Jama'ah.
I know, I mentioned there was something else.
The excuses of people salah, forgetting, oversleeping.
Naam, jayid. Like obviously we know that if a person now oversleeps or he forgets, then it's different. Yes, it was mentioned in the fatwa. The fatwa of how some scholars, they believe whoever prays at home without any udhr, then this person in the udhr, the excuses are obviously forgetting and oversleeping. Jayid. A person, he prays at home and he has no udhr, he's not sick and he doesn't oversleep, and he just prays at home. A group of scholars, brothers and sisters, they believe that this guy, his salat is batil, based on this hadith that I'm going to mention. Hadith ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. An Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, man sami'a an-nida falam ya'ti fala salatu illa min udhrin. Whoever hears the adhan and he doesn't come to it, there's no salah for this person illa, except in the case where he has an excuse. Right? Ibn Majah isnadu ala shart mudhallaka rajaha ba'dhum wakhfa. Some scholars, they said that this mawquf ala ibn Abbas. This narration stops at ibn Abbas. And someone in 7th marfu'. So based on that, they feel and they believe that whoever leaves off the salah in jama'ah and he doesn't have a udhr, this guy has a salah that is batil. Imagine that, brothers and sisters. Also, brothers and sisters, ma yusa'idu aw yu'inu al-insan, that which aids and assists a person in attending the congregation and being on the top of his game when it comes to the ibadat, is a righteous wife. You know something very, very funny I saw while I was in Medina, and I added this to when I wanted to give this lecture about the Jama'ah. There was a picture going around on WhatsApp, on Facebook as well, I think. Someone took a picture of the masjid, and the masjid was packed. And there was a comment right at the bottom. And his comment said, and subhanAllah, this really made me laugh. He said, the masjid offered everyone that attends the masjid normally, whoever now doesn't attend the congregation for Fajr the next day, then they are going to offer him, or they're going to assist him in getting married, and they're going to cover all costs. Are you with me? You look a bit confused. The picture basically said he was a packed masjid. He said, anybody who doesn't attend the Fajr tomorrow, then the masjid is going to يَقُومُ بِتَكَالِيفِ الزَّوَاجِ. They are going to take responsibility of getting him married off to a second wife. So the masjid was packed. أَشَاهِدُ لَمَرْأَةٌ صَالِحَةٌ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, وَلْيَتَّخِذْ أَحَدُكُمْ قَلْبًا شَاكِرًا وَلِسَانًا ذَاكِرًا وَمْرَأَةً مُؤْمِنَةً تُعِينُ أَحَدُكُمْ عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. One should have a very thankful tongue. Sorry, he should have a very thankful heart. Also, a very much remembering tongue. And also, he should get married to his sister, a believing woman, who's going to assist him in his akhirah. She asked him, why haven't you woken up for Qiyamul Layl? Forgive a Fajr, Qiyamul Layl. May Allah give every single one of you, if you don't have one, get another one. You know, and if you've already got one, another one as well. And everyone's saying Ameen already. Tu'inuk. Qiyamul Layl, she's not, forget about your wajibat, she's asking you Qiyamul Layl, why are you not waking up? And this is what a righteous sister does. Wallahi tu'inuk. And I always mention this when I give this lecture on bad companions. Remember, brothers and sisters, we all have friends, right? And the friends have an effect on all of us. And we're talking about people who we see some parts of the day. Your wife is the closest companion you're going to have. She could either make or break your religion. There's guys that I know personally, they were tulab al-ilm. I personally, when looking at them, thought they were going to benefit the ummah with what Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed them with. They got married, the rest is history. Wallahi, the rest is history. She didn't want to seek knowledge, she this and she that, she dragged him. It's going to affect the person. You can't just divorce a woman like that. A person, especially his first lover gets married, he always has that attachment. So it's difficult to kind, especially when kids come, even more difficult. Alhamdulillah, we're not like the non-Muslims, where we try to hold ourselves for like a couple of years before we have kids. Muslims, mashallah, they implement the hadith, تَزَوَّجُوا تَوَالَدُوا تَنَاسَلُوا. Have kids. You know, it comes after maybe, you know, first few months she's already pregnant. So it's not easy to kind of like leave that situation, brothers. And sisters, are you there with me? We know Imran ibn Hattan, right? No, we don't. But we know Aisha. Who was Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha? She doesn't need a biography or someone to write for her. غنير عن التعريف. The wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imran ibn Hattam, brothers and sisters, was an individual who used to take a hadith from Aisha. He used to narrate the hadith, take a hadith from Aisha. He fell in love, you know, with who? A Kharijite. A woman from the Khawarij. People were like, don't get married to her, she's going to end up affecting. He was like, nah, I'm going to end up affecting, I'm going to change her. Guess what happens? Gets married, he becomes from the heads of the Khawarij. This is why the Prophet says, تُنْكَحُ الْمَرَأَةُ لِأَرْبَعُ. Woman gets married off for four reasons. لِمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا فَاظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَكْ. Four things. Normally when a guy goes and gets married, most of the time they end up getting married to a person because of these four things. Mainly because of the wealth that she has. You build your whole relationship on the wealth, she gets deluded by this person's car or the money that he's earning in 2017, and because of that she wants to get married to him. Okay, tomorrow, couple of years time, what happens? He loses the job he has. Hey, well, you're going to divorce him? You're going to leave him? The car that he has, okay, goes into a car crash, it was his fault. He loses the car, he's in debt now. Do you understand what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? If it's solely dependent on the worldly life, what happens when that now leaves? We all know about the crisis that took place, right? What was it called again? No. Years ago.
Recession.
The recession. That's the word I was looking for. When the recession took place. Hey, if tomorrow a recession happens, we lose everything that we have. Because we're going to now separate because that dunya is not there, and only because you got married to me because of the car and the house and the money, you know, and the worldly pleasures that I had. Also sometimes because of the jamal. Solely the marrying to a person, to a sister that only has jamal. I'm not saying to you, go get married to sister that you're totally unattracted to. Because that can be a problem as well. Can be a big problem. Rather, it shouldn't be the main thing. Shouldn't be the main thing that a person looks at. Should be one of the factors that he does take it together. Obviously, you need to be attracted to her sister. Otherwise, you won't be able to make love with her. It'll be very difficult. Are you there with me, brothers and sisters? I don't know why you're laughing. Our brother here put his head down. Why you're on a wife, you like, you stay away from her, she's one side of the room and you're on the other side? Of course, you know, things are gonna go down, you know? Ash-shahidu min al-kalam, you have to be attracted to your sister. But at the end of the day, you have to realize as well that beauty is not going to remain. Couple of years goes down the line, mashallah, in the first year, even the pyjamas, mashallah, cost 40, 50 pounds. You know? They're looking after themselves. Later on, she's already married, she gets a bit lazy. She gets a bit lazy, you know? And she's not trying as much as she used to before. She starts eating, puts a few pounds on. It happens, you know? It happens. Kid comes along, even more. She doesn't look like what you used to see before. That's going to go. And it's not going to remain. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبَّهُ. Okay, some cases they remain the way they are for years, and may Allah assist everybody's wife and people that you get married to. الشاهدو. And then you have the third thing, which is النسب. Another mistake that people tend to do is they look more at the reputation of the family and what they are known for more than actually looking at a person. If the family is really good, that doesn't always mean that she's going to be so great as well. So if it's solely dependent on that, it could cause issues. But the Prophet said, فَاطْفَرْ بِذَاتِ دِينَ تَرْبَتْ يَدَكَ. Go for the one that has the religion. Her religion needs to be on point. And it's, the Prophet mentioned an expression, don't end up hitting your hand with regret, you know, on the floor. And he, take the right choice before you end up being regretful. Go for the religion. But at the same time, brothers, it's important that you're attracted to her. This woman of the religion, she will keep you on top of your game. Or at least you will remind her, she will remind you. It goes both ways. Are you with me, brothers? So, these are some points that I really wanted to mention about the jama'ah. You guys see this every year. You see this every year. As soon as Ramadan finishes, we tend to go back to old ways that we had. And one of the signs of an accepted action, brothers and sisters, is that a person continues what he used to do in the month of Ramadan outside the month of Ramadan. And to become complacent and think to yourself, Akhi, 84 years, you know, I stood up on Laylatul Qadr. Who knows if that was even Laylatul Qadr? Or I have now the reward of 84 years, I can chillax for the rest of the year until next Ramadan. Rather, the Salaf, they used to beg Allah Azza wa Jalla to accept their actions from them for 6 months. And the next 6 months, they would ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to give them the success to reach the next Ramadan. 6 months, he's fearing, oh Allah, begging Allah Azza wa Jalla, accept the actions, the siyam and the qiyam, the dua that I done. Nobody ever sat back on his sofa, put his feet up, khalas, and can relax. Wallahi, never done that. Rather, he's be fearful of the actions being accepted. And to just worship Ramadan in that month, and then for the rest of the year, of course, brothers and sisters, لكل عمل شرة ولكل شرة فترة. Everybody, you know, there's a time when he's very, very enthusiastic. He's on top of his game, really hype, zealous about the religion. He's doing everything, and he's going to go through a period where it's like the, you know, the lowdown of his ibadat. People go through that. But the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the moment a person now does that which is not in accordance to the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla, this person is halik, he will be destroyed. Sometimes there's no harm, sometimes you'll go through a period where you're not doing as much ibadat as you were doing before. You're doing the fara'id, but you're not necessarily doing, you know, the supererogatory voluntary acts that you was doing before. You're going to go through a period. You're not going to be able to wake up for Qiyam al-Layl as you used to do before. But brothers and sisters, there's people who say, oh, just Ramadan. I'm going to worship Ramadan. You're not truly worshipping Allah, are you? Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after the Prophet passed away, he went on the minbar. And he said, man kana ya'budu Muhammadan, fa inna Muhammadan qad mat. Whoever used to worship Muhammad, then Muhammad has died. He's no longer living. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيُّ لَا يَمُتْ. Whoever used to worship Allah, Allah lives and he doesn't pass away. So brothers, whoever used to worship Ramadan, Ramadan is gone. The Lord of the other 11 months is still there. You have been told, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيكَ الْيَقِينَ. Worship your Lord until what? Yaqeen comes to you. And yaqeen doesn't mean here when you reach a certain level in your religion and you become pious and khalas, you can relax as some groups and the imams and their peers, they just stop, you know, attending the congregation. لا حتى يأتيك اليقين, the death. Till the last very moment, we should be fearful. Am I going to be going to the Jannah? Because we know the other hadith as well. إن الرجل ليعمل بعمل أهل الجنة حتى ما يكون بينه وبين الجنة إلى ذراع فيسبق على الكتاب فيعمل بعمل أهل النار فيدخلها. A person will keep doing the actions of the people of Jannah until between him and the fire is the arm's length. And a decree overtakes him. He does the actions from the people of the Nar, the fire. And what happens? He enters into it. Imagine now, we know the average lifespan, أعمار أمتي بين 60 و 70, 60 to 70 is the average lifespan of a person. For 69 years, you have been worshipping Allah. Then that 1 year, doubts come to you. 69 years, it could be reason because of the doubts. You leave the fold of Islam. All of that goes down the drain. Rather, a person lives and he worships Allah between khawf and raja. Between fearful of his actions being accepted and also hoping for the reward. And this is how we should be living our lives and whatever we do, not becoming too complacent, because this was not the way of the companions. Companions, they feared for themselves. They feared nifaq for themselves. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to benefit us from what we heard. These few hadith and verses that we reminded ourselves with, and to make us from those who really take seriously the jama'ah and carry this on after the month of Ramadan. Okay. Our brother Zubair wanted me to comment on the issues of refutation and how a person might become too indulged and ends up wasting a lot of time with things that have absolutely no benefit. And without a shadow of doubt, brothers and sisters, you have to understand refutation is part of our religion. Refutation is part of our religion. But at the same time, you have two extremes. You have two extremes. You have a guy who dedicates most of his day reading articles, refutations. Fulan said this about this person. Fulan said this about that person. I've even got a video on this on my YouTube channel. Maybe I'm going to get the brother, our brother Zubair, to send it to you. Lot. What Sheikh Muqbil bin Hadi al-Wadi'i said. Sheikh Muqbil bin Hadi was addressing certain people who kept on saying, Fulan's Hizbi, Fulan's like that, Fulan's like this. Like, you're just spending most of your, and you're a young person who doesn't know the basics of your religion. Naam, like I said, it is part of our religion. And one should know where he should take his knowledge from. As to why this person might be a deviant, fearing for yourself, you need to know that. But when it comes to spending so many hours, that person now, he ends up becoming more busy from that which he should be prioritizing more than anything else. That becomes a problem. That becomes a real problem. Because at the end of the day, guys, what you're going to be asked in your grave is not your view and your position on a certain individual. You're going to be asked about your actions. Again, I don't want someone to get a wrong impression that I'm trying to say that refutation is not part of our, it is part of our religion. But what you're going to be asked about in your grave is the three questions. What you've done with the ilm, the time that Allah Azza wa Jalla gave you. So you concerning yourself more about trying to rectify yourself, trying to learn the basics of your religion. You have guys today, brother and sister, I'm going to mention this. He comes into the religion, a reaver, wallahi a reaver. You ask him about shurut la ilaha illallah. You ask him about correctly washing your backside, he doesn't know. But he says to you, oh, what's your position on Ali Halabi? What's your position on this guy? What's your position on Yahya al-Hajuri? In his revert accent. You know who these guys are? You probably don't even know who they are. Yahya al-Hajuri is a sheikh who lives in Yemen. Who is a sheikh on the Sunnah, who's over there in the Yemen. A fitna broke out between a group of mashayikh and a group of another mashayikh. What has this guy, who is living in Birmingham, or is living somewhere in Britain, got to do with that sheikh? And you entered into Islam 1 month ago. Doesn't know the basis of your religion. And again, I'm saying, na'am, you should know who you take. But this guy's an Arab, you're not even going to benefit from him. You're nowhere near even knowing Alif Ba'ta. What's your position, Yahya al-Hajuri? Are you there with me, guys? So you have two big extremes. Your guys don't want to shut the door completely, no. Don't say anything about anyone. Let the people just listen to everyone. Okay, we open that door, go listen to everybody. What happens then? Could be the reason why this guy goes and blows himself up, because he's going to listen to a certain individual who's going to give him doubts. But at the same time, everything has its qadar, its due right. For most of us, especially living here, we've been concerning ourselves and trying to learn the religion from its correct people. And correct people, you ask the mashayikh, you have mashayikh that come down every year. And those who follow the sunnah, their mashayikh are people of the sunnah. And so on and so forth.
Is that right, Zubair?
Did I go overboard?
Oh, excellent.
Inshallah, jazakumullah khair. Whoever wants to come, I've got another lecture in Masjid Furqan. It's about the different means that one could take in order to increase his provision. So if anyone wants to attend that, inshallah, Masjid Furqan. By the way, are you two brothers?
Yeah.
Wallahi, you look so alike, subhanAllah. The whole thing throughout the lecture. Maybe the reason why I forgot that thing because I was, you know.
Yesterday, with the Ustad Naveed yesterday. Yeah. Brother, come up to me. Are you Ustad Naveed, brother? I wish.
Why you look alike? A lot alike, mashallah. Mashallah. Barakallah. Inshallah, subhanAllah wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And jazakumullah khair, brothers, for attending today, even it was very short notice. And until next time, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.